Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
He's not going to be with us for a while tonight, and he asked me to do the show But anyway, we're going to say a prayer. Watch out, Kingston. I don't know if you have it. I don't know if you Chosani chunichi la punko tukashla woki ashte agrihunyo pia tukashla. Na tu kitekto mitaku ye unyonki, hene yohila. Tukashla nishnala, ane kanawaya ki chunke, shtamo shlunki hana hui chosani, wola kota, woki ashte tukashla, ea hoi chi chapilo. Iyo ha unshi kapilo tukashla, yinko yohila tukashla, unki hana hunke, ea tukata kya. Wapi akil mouni kite ea hoi chi chapilo. Ushim kilapona, yotan kil wakhajana, wakanaki tukas. Oi, walu, lehe, zaiti tukas. Ushim kilapona, hau mitaki aze.
Mitaki aze.
Oh! But you know, there's a. Wombly's got some international business he's taking care of. He's got a. He went to the University of the Universe tonight, son. So he wanted us to. Me and Larry here to. To hold the port down till he got back or till the show was over. But anyway, we discussed, me and Wombly was discussing something there. There's the people up north there, the Nooksack people. You know, there's they're a tribe, one tribe. But half of them's in Canada and half of them's in America. And for some reason, the ones here, the ones in America, want to push the ones from Canada out because there's a casino involved. You know, and jealousy. There's that shouldn't really exist, especially amongst the Native American people. That's what the Washichu wants. That's what they want for the Indians, to stand divided. Because when Indian fight Indian, nobody wins. And those are things that shouldn't happen, but that's what's happening now up there, up north. You know, why do it all of a sudden? Because there's money involved, you know, politics. Those people, we're all pitiful people. We're all natives. We're all from this continent, this United States or so-called America by the white people. This is the fatherland. Canada is the motherland. It's always been that way. And yet, all of a sudden, because of jealousy and money, you know, they want to push some people out. It doesn't matter if they're from Canada or United States. We're all one people. And that's what they should look at instead of getting the government involved. And they're talking about sovereignty, all these other things. You know, as long as we're hurting ourselves, fighting each other, the government will say, oh, you guys are sovereign. But the minute it comes for us guys to get a fair shake, there's no sovereign about it. They keep stealing our land, see. And all of a sudden, this money, these casinos, it's happening in a lot of places. You know, it's happening here in California, now up there. It's a lot of different places where they're disenrolling people. You know, that shouldn't happen. You know, we're all pitiful, pitiful people. The government has done us wrong since they landed here. The Washichus, they've never given us a fair shake. That's why we say all they want is our land. They don't care about nothing else. And these people that are not wanted here in America, so they say. They have just as much right to this country as they do theirs because they're natives. There's no difference between those people and us. So that stuff shouldn't happen. But why these people play politics with other people's lives? There's little kids involved. There's old people involved. You know, they're trying to throw them out in a dead winter. And those things shouldn't exist. But yet, they do, and that's not right. We all got to take a good look at each other. Look at all these rich casino tribes here in California. They don't help any of these poor little reservations with anything. Some of them have a hard time paying electricity. Some of them have a hard time paying a water bill. But yet, do you think those casinos care? No, they don't. Then they say revenue sharing. But all these councils, they're the ones that get that revenue sharing. like our tribe back home, the Prairie Wind Casino. You know, the tribal council fights over that because that's their paycheck. See, now Shogby owns it, from my understanding, because they went into debt. They borrowed money and they couldn't pay it back. So the person that had the know-how got impeached. So now they're stuck with that debt. So Shogby owns the casino until it's paid off those things. You know, it's just a mess with these casinos and all these different things that bring what they call prosperity. You know, it's not prosperity. It's you know, people are turning hateful because of this. And there's no compassion. They think like Washichos. They think like white people. No compassion at all. And that shouldn't exist. That shouldn't be amongst the Indians at all. And some of you guys out there, Phil, and supposed to be another guy on tonight. I forgot his name, but somebody told me about him. But you guys are supposed to be talking about some stuff too. So you guys are there.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But anyway, that's what I'd like to say. But it's up to you guys. Go ahead and come on in and talk about what you got to talk about. Say what you got to say.
Good evening, everyone. I'm reading the article now, and it's disturbing. It's very disturbing that this is taking place. You know, and that they're actually evicting families out of homes. It's sad. And to read the article and see that the majority of the people are elders. They're in their 80s. So, I think they said like 35 families in 21 houses. And it is. The only thing that this tribe owns is that casino, a convenience store, and a gas station. And there it is. 306 members have been purged, or they're trying to purge them. The BIA is also getting involved, and the director of the BIA is requesting that the evictions be halted. But this chairman for the tribe is saying that they don't want to wait. They want to get this done. And, you know, we all can have our opinions on this. And, yeah, tribal sovereignty is imperative. Maybe, hopefully, you know, the Creator sees fit to put some love in these people's hearts and stop them from doing this to their own people. It's sad that this happens. And, yeah, we all have disagreements. We don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And but this is just wrong. And there's some other wrong things that are going on that I'm going to mention later. And I'm hoping that what I'm going to talk about later is one person involved. Hopefully she calls in so she can tell the side of the story that she has. And if not this week, maybe next week she'll call in. But I hate seeing this happen, you know, things like this happening. Especially to nations whose their lands are divided by an imaginary colonial line, you know, and all over frog skins, you know.
Yeah,
it's sad.
You know, the thing about something like that that's happening now, you know, think back. You know, were our ancestors like that? No, they weren't. That's the thing. You know, everybody, you know, white man has this theory that we were a war nation. All these Indians were warring amongst each other before they showed up. Well, that was a big lie. That was a lie. You know, I had a grandfather that went all the way down to South America, all the way to the tip of Canada, and came back. Took him 8 years. But yeah, he made the trip. And he said on his way, he made so much friends. He had some pack horses when he showed up back home. All these gifts that were gifted him. All these people that he made relations with up and down the country here. So they talk about Warren, you know. No, that's their theory, because that's how they lived. And then now these people, these councils, these tribal councils, they get in there, they get into a position of power. Then they throw it around because they're in a position of power. See, he's using the cops, the law enforcement, to do this. See, and so the other people don't have no recourse. See, why is that? There's 300 and some people that are homeless now, that are tribalists. But yet, they were here long before the Washichus. Why don't these guys go after these Washichus that are stealing our land? Instead of these pitiful Indians that, you know, that been pitiful along with them all these years going back. It doesn't matter if you're from Canada or America. If you're Native American, if you're Indian, if you're Native, you belong. It doesn't matter. You know, that's we got to start looking at ourselves like that. These tribal councils, like I talked about before, I hate these tribal councils because they're supposed to represent us. And the only time they hide behind sovereignty is when there's a payment. They're getting some kind of payment to put in their pockets. And yet the rest of us are forgotten about. But yet they use us. Then the government says, the BIA says, oh, you guys chose him. You elected him president, or you elected him this and that. So we got to do what he says. See, why, you know, what is that about? You know, it wasn't like that long ago, and I should say not too long ago, because like I say, they had Indian courts back in the 20s, you know, and sentences were carried out. You know, the government couldn't do nothing about it. What happened to all of that? See, they took that. And then now these people are hiding behind the so-called councils, and they tell us, oh, you can't do nothing until you vote it out because we put it in there democratically. The BIA tells you this. We put it in there democratically, one man, one vote. It won, so now you're stuck with it until you have that election. That's how they keep fooling us. But the only time they claim sovereignty is when there's something in it for them. They don't care about us. They have that Washichu mentality. They want to line their pockets. They have no care in the world about that grandma that lives half mile off the road that can't even get to the road when it's muddy or it's snowing because of the road conditions. Those things, they don't think about those. As long as they have money and they're getting money somehow, they'll claim sovereign. You know, and that to me shouldn't exist. Sovereign should be each and every one of us. It should apply to each and every one of us, not just the council. Why is that? It only the tribal council could claim that.
Well, here's what one of the main issues are. Since the BIA has been involved, and you know, since it was taken from the War Department and put into the Department of the Interior, and how they want to their ideas of how they need to work with us, a colonial system was forced upon the nations, and that's why we have these tribal councils now, because I think if it was traditional leadership and traditional ways that the leaders were chosen and that there wouldn't be any of this. You know, if it was still like the clan systems that some nations had, you know, and listening to clan mothers and what their wishes for the people were, and giving them that message to the chief, and then the chief dealing with them. They don't want that, because that's a strong government here. They knew that that was a strong government, a strong way of governing the people, and they wanted to divide the people. How best to divide the people than take their government from them and force them to have a government like the colonial government. You know, and then I'm reading this. It says the Nunsak leaders have said the expelled people are descended from a tribal band based in Canada and should have never been enrolled. None of them had direct ancestors who were included in a crucial tribal census that was undertaken in 1942. And Ross Klein, tribal chair, who has led the eviction effort, said the tribal leadership's responsibility now was to preserve the tribe's land and resources for qualifying members. Quote, if your neighbor picks up the fence and moves it 10 feet onto your property, do you say that's cool, or do you put up a fight about it, he said. The battle comes amid an affordable housing crisis across the West, with evictions targeting 21 homes that house 63 people, those facing removal, some of them 80 years and older, say they do not know where they will go, especially now with Washington paralyzed with unusual instances of snow and cold weather. The federal government, which funds the tribal housing programs, asked the tribe last month to halt the evictions for 30 days in order to give the government time to review the situation. Quote, there are extremely concerning allegations of potential civil rights acts and Indian Civil Rights Act violations regarding these evictions, said Daryl LeConte, director of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. He wrote that in a letter to Klein. But Klein said he had no interest in waiting, saying that the request would merely delay the process of making tribal homes available for those who were actually enrolled. Quote, last summer they would have said it was too hot to move, Klein said. Just before Easter, they would have said it's not a good time to move, or 4th of July. Pick any day close to some holiday or bad weather. So, see, this guy is just, I don't understand the thinking. We're talking about elderly people here in Washington State. It's freaking in the middle of winter now, and he wants to evict people. Shame on him. What kind of leader is that? That's no leader. And I hope he's listening to this. I hope somebody gets this to him. You should be ashamed of yourself. You really should be ashamed of yourself. That's just my opinion. You know, you're supposed to be working for all the people, and you know they have lineage that backs their claims of who they are. They know who they are. They know exactly who they are, and you know exactly who they are.
You know, like I was saying, you know, they are, these things shouldn't be happening, especially amongst Native people. Like you said, they know where they are. They know where they come from. And that's each and every one of us. You know, just because I'm down here in California, live in California, doesn't mean that, you know, my tribe's going to kick me out because I'm living down here. You know, it doesn't matter where you're from. As long as you're Native, you belong to this country. That's the way you got to start looking at these things. That's why we're all apart. How many tribes are in the United States and Canada? And yet,
I think over 500.
We're the most neglected people in the world. Look at our reservation. It's a third world country within one of the richest countries there is. But the Pine Ridge, Rosebud, Sand River, their reservations are the poorest. Unemployment rate, what, 98%? You know, that alone. But yet, when it comes to taking land or resources, the United States government has no problem coming in and saying, we want that. We're going to take this. You're going to have to deal with this guy, the state or somebody, and you're going to have to make work out a payment. And then they're over on the land. We don't get nothing. None of us, these tribes. And now the tribal councils don't even want to give land to the future generations. They want to keep it all. The tribal council is an entity of the BIA. That alone ought to frighten the shit out of people. Because that means that the BIA is going to own all of that. What the tribal council owns, the BIA owns. Those things, that's scary. And now these people up there are satisfying the United States government by saying these guys ain't Indian. These guys ain't Native. You know, that doesn't sit very good with me. You know, that's how it is. Is these people that get money hungry, that get jealous, all of a sudden they get a sense of power, they get in a position of power, then they go on these power trips. You know, the people that have been living there for years and years and years, all of a sudden they want to disenroll them. Why? You know, those people know who they are. They might have came from Canada, but they're part of that tribe, the Nooksack. You know, so what is it? Why are we Native Americans so hateful all of a sudden? Why are we just like the Washichus again? You know, that shouldn't exist. That shouldn't be happening at all. We should be sticking together. These people ought to be protecting these guys that are saying they're not from here. They ought to be protecting those people. It's cold outside. You know, then he says, oh, next it's going to be this. You know, it doesn't matter. Those people are from there, you know, Canada, America. America is a made-up country. America is Washichu. Slave stealers. America is a slave-stealing country. That's how, look at all these black people. They're still fighting for compensation and whatever else, but equal rights. But yet it's not happening. Because they control that. It's set up for them. It's not set. This goes way back. You know, they're never going to give us a fair shake unless we stand together on these issues. And this guy, whoever he is, kicking these people out, he's making the BIA and these United States government happier now. Because that's that much less Indians they got to deal with. See, that's what it is. Because now they could say, oh, you're a white man now because they threw you away. The only one that you could identify is with us, Americans. See, that's what it is. It well, shouldn't be that Javier, way.
Javier says at the end of this article, he says, where is it? From his front yard, Javier noted the location of Klein's home just a few doors down the street. And he says, in quotes, the hardest thing for me is growing up with all of these people. You know what I mean? He said, quote, just to watch them turn from friends to the people that just ignore me. It's heartbreaking. He grew up with these people, and now they've turned their backs on him, and they ignore him.
Yep. For what? For what though? That's the question. There's no reason.
From the federal government for housing.
You know, it's like we're always at the mercy of the BIA or federal government or somebody that works for them. You know, that's the story of the Indian here in America. They're in Canada. We are the most neglected people. They could compensate Japanese. They could compensate Germans. They could compensate Iranians. All these people that they bombed, they could compensate those people. Vietnamese. But yet, when it comes to us, and we own the land. This country is ours. This is our country. We didn't float in on a ship. Then these people act like that. You know, those people ought to be ashamed of themselves for doing something like that. You know, it's not right. When you throw your own people out for no good reason, just because you want more money, greed. Man, that's one thing that Native Americans never knew what greed was. Now, we don't even have the values, the Lakota, the Indian values. It's all Washitu values, which is a dollar bill. We're turning just like them. Pretty soon, all there's going to be is a bunch of red white men. No more traditional. Because look at what's happening now, see? And the federal government loves that. They sit back and, you shouldn't do that because it's, you know, just give us 30 days. Well, why didn't they ask for 10, 15 years? You know? What difference does it make? It's their houses. That tribal that president or whatever he is, he don't own those houses. The federal government does. Then they talk about civil rights. You know, we Lakota people are under a whole different set of civil rights laws that are apart from the '60s civil rights. And a lot of these tribes in the United States, I think the Navajo are the only people that signed on to that. The rest of us are under a federal guideline. And yet you ask your tribal council, and they don't know a damn thing about it. You know, that's how they treat us. Keep them dumb. Keep them stupid. Throw a little money at them every now and then, and they'll fight each other. So we'll keep stealing their land. We'll keep stealing their minerals. You know, the 34, these governments were set up for land grab, for mineral grab. That's what it was set up for. Why do you think Ford and the President of the United States set up that think tank? Because they wanted oil, mass production of the automobile. That's what it was about. And they set up this think tank. They hired a bunch of geniuses to set on this and to come up with something to where they could get the oil free, damn near free. And it worked. And we're still under that to this day. You know, it's sad. Then these guys, like this guy doing what he's doing, he is no different than that Washitu. He's no different than the president that wanted to kill all the Indians, north, south, east, and west. Lincoln was that person. You know, he's helping those people. Why does he want to do that to his own people? Those are his people. Why does he have so much hate in his heart to where he wants to do something like that? What kind of revenge does he want? Why? What is he pissed off about? Oh, he just wants more money, greed. The $300-$400 that these people are getting, he wants that in his pocket. These
and
things shouldn't be happening.
I want to make something a little clear too for the listeners. You know, we're allowed to criticize leadership. You know, this isn't, you know, what the terminology nowadays is. Yo, you're hating me. Hate is a very strong word. A very strong word. We don't hate our brothers and sisters. We may disagree with them. We may criticize them. But we still love them. You know, what this chairperson for this tribe is doing is we feel is wrong, and we have a right to voice our opinion. You know, I don't think he's looking out for his people. He's looking out for something else, some other interest that's in the back of his mind. And maybe the rest of the tribal council too.
But we don't hate them. We don't think what they're doing is right, and we're just voicing our opinions on it, you know.
We have Jennifer Black Elk on the line, too. So, Jennifer, whenever you want, you can say your opinion, too.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Hey, Jennifer. Come on. Come online.
Hi.
Yeah, what's your take on this, Jennifer?
I'm not sure what article you're talking about. I just was catching the strong points of questioning our leadership and something of having a what's each your mind of greed and all of that. I'm in agreement with all of that, whatever is going on, and it's kind
it's
of a dog world right now.
There's an article that was in the New York Times on Monday, January 3rd, written by Mike Baker.
Okay. And what tribe is he from?
He's not from a tribe. He's just a reporter. But this is about the disenrollment of members from the Nunsak tribe in Washington.
Now they're trying to discredit our enrollments, huh?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to remember the truth. But we all have a voice, especially a platform like this that hits globally. And I'm sure people out there listening or maybe they have some kind of a connection of or some ideas that they could blog in or something. And, you know, I don't know why people take to the streets on certain matters, and when it comes to our issues, nobody comes to the streets, especially for missing women or any kind of issues, or men getting killed by police, or such stories like this doesn't hit the mainstream media, like only if it's negative.
I just sent that article to you on Facebook through Messenger.
Okay, I'll see if I can be coordinated enough to do both here. Three both.
I have here White Feather too. I might put him on. Maybe he has something to say too.
Put him on.
Yeah.
Good evening, White Feather.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
Cola?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Keep going.
I got bad signal.
Yes, we can.
Oh.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. My name is Dr. Whitefeather. This name is Bahakamus. My father's Chief T. Crows of the Cheyenne Dogmen, Hope Mitna. And I just was enjoying the conversation that was going on, just listening. I was wanting to let everybody know I was here. And it's been a minute since I called in, and started to hear that Wombly ain't on. I've been on in a couple months, so been busy with law firm. So just listening in.
So
but yeah,
I have
some stuff to chime in on the disenrollment and stuff like that. There's a lot of different reasons for a lot of different people to do the disenrollment for different reasons. But there's to be kicked out. There's nobody can be done that. Now, if Shakopee are doing that, then or any other tribe is doing that to any of their members, they need to call me. But nonetheless, one can disenroll from the tribal business committee, but not disenroll from the tribe if one wants to do that.
Hmm.
How does that work? You can't disenroll them from the tribe, but you could disenroll them from what?
you can disenroll from the Tribal Business Committee or the BIA and Secretary of Interior section of it, or you can remove yourself from that section, but not the tribe. So, like you're saying about being removed under the bad man clause, all you're doing is removing yourself from the commerce section of the tribe.
Huh.
So the Tribal Business Committee, that's what they're technically supposed to do, is run the commerce section. So, and the seven council fires is supposed to run the traditional section.
So what you're saying is
none
that
of these
the
things
bad man clause
done like we're supposed to be.
You know.
No, I'm just saying the bad man clause, I was just using as an example. I'm just saying, no, you ain't being labeled as a bad man under when you disenroll. It's just you're disenrolling from the Tribal Business Committee.
They're not disenrolling.
Can do anything.
They're not disenrolling themselves. It's the tribal chairman who is disenrolling other members of the tribe and evicting them.
Right, and that's what I was saying earlier. I haven't heard about that, so I'd have to dig into it some more, but I'd like to hear some more about it. I'll just shut up so I can hear some more about it, but yeah. I haven't heard nothing on it yet.
Yeah, the article was published in the New York Times on January 3rd. So if you want to look that up, it's right there. I just Wombly had sent me the link to the news article, and I read a little bit of it, and then I just got done sending the link to Jennifer Black Elk so she could read what the discussion was about. So
I just like getting on here every so often and chatting it up with Wombly. But, yeah, that's good to know, and I'll look into that, too, as well. Just for those that don't know who I am, like I said, I have Native Law International, and I'm an international diplomat native. I'm Cheyenne, so.
Yeah, I remember hearing you on the show before.
Right.
You know, that bad
so man the traditional
calls
laws
that
do apply. I'm an international diplomat because the government.
The bad man clause that she was talking about, that one there, that pertains to Washitus that come on Indian land. Why is it all of a sudden the Indians are involved in it too? You know, a lot of that, whose interpretation is that? Is that the treaty interpretation or is that the white man interpretation? See, that's what a lot of these things get twisted around.
It's both. It's both.
You know, bad man clause pertains to the white man that comes
like
in.
That's all we're talking about with the No, it don't. The bad man clause doesn't pertain to just the white man. Bad man clause pertains to the Great Sioux Nation, because North Dakota and South Dakota is traditionally Cheyenne territory. That's the whole reason why there's the Keeper of the Pipe. My family gave up Archinupa to the Keeper of the Pipe family and adopted them into the Dogmen, and that's where we get the Muscata from. So the Muscata are the Lakota Dogmen that were adopted into the Lakota. And that's why there's CRST. There's no such tribe as Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. That's where we Cheyenne adopted the Lakota into the Dogmen. That's what Little Bighorn was about. Little Bighorn wasn't about killing Custard. Killing Custard overshadowed us adopting the Lakota into the Dogmen. That's why it was so easy to kill Custard and so many people were there.
Wow.
Because we were adopting the Buckhead family.
I totally disagree with that. Lakota's always been around the Black Hills. It's always been our territory, even from way back. Our stories from way back. So wherever you're getting this information from, it's wrong.
But the it's my family that gave up our Chinupa.
So in other words,
my direct family.
So, you know, it came to us. It came to the Lakota people. It's always been a Lakota people.
Sweet medicine. The Chinupa has not always been a Lakota thing. The Chinupa that was given to the Lakota.
Yeah, that's where you get your staple. Yeah.
Because of the Lakota were the buffalo. They weren't the Great Sioux Nation. They were the Buffalo Nation.
We've always been known as the Buffalo Nation.
So to say, as in a set territory, y'all. Right.
You know,
y'all
wherever
you're
getting,
and,
wherever you're getting the
y'all
information
never stopped
from
moving
the ground.
Y'all followed the buffalo.
You know, the Black Hills.
Not wrong.
The Black Hills of South Dakota, that whole area there, that was Lakota territory way back, clear back. All of our stories, all of our history comes from there. So wherever you're getting this information from is wrong.
It's a shared story.
The
cat
pipe came to our people. The cat pipe came to our people.
Wrong.
That's why we have it.
Right. But it came from a Cheyenne.
No, it didn't come from a Cheyenne.
The Buffalo Calf Pipe woman is a Cheyenne woman.
No, she wasn't.
The Chinupa that the Fiddler family carries, or Elkhead.
You know, let's go back further. Where did you get this saying, Chinupa? See, originally it was called Kachanupa, and they shortened it to Chinupa.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is going on? Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, okay.
I'm here.
So, but anyway, yeah, that's,
can you hear me?
You know, the history. You better recheck your history about all of this stuff, because there's a lot of your history.
I know who I am. I know the truth. It's not history. No.
You know,
it's the same reason why, when you were talking about Lincoln, before Lincoln became president, Montana stretched all the way from Washington State to half of Minnesota. Half of Minnesota was Cheyenne territory.
That was all Sioux territory, or Lakota territory.
That's during the Louisiana Purchase and all of that. We shared
all
it, like we did with the Crow and everybody else.
You know, that's just Lakota territory. Where the heck did they get
Cheyenne,
that?
It was Cheyenne, Lakota. That's why it's
you
called
know,
Cheyenne
hey,
Mountain,
I,
Cheyenne
you
River.
Know, let me ask, let me, you know, send me the information about where you got this story from about a Cheyenne's giving us the cat pipe.
So, are you on the phone? Are you online?
Send me the information, wherever you got it from.
Hello?
I don't know what happened to
him. Hiakabamato.
Hiakabamato is here.
Yeah, we can hear you, Hiakabamato.
Oh, can you hear me?
Barely.
Oh.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, the history has been hidden for a long time since Little Bighorn. I just now put the paperwork interior. This past summer, this past June, on Victory Day, as we call it, Victory Day, I went in my traditional wares, me and my brother, Mascata, a Huckamus. We went there and to pray, to bring that traditional way back, that sovereignty, that power that we have, the spirit, like we're supposed to be having. So this kind of type of craziness with the tribal councils and the tribal chairmen, they work for the BIA. They have no power. But we traditional people got to step up. We have to stand strong together, like you were saying. But, again, I've always been told to just keep going, stay strong, have courage, take courage. Because eventually the people will stand up with you. With all the hurt and the bad things that's happening in all our reservations. It's pretty sad. But I personally contacted Interior with these individuals on the phone at the same time, like how we're talking now, directly to the BIA, the Secretary of Interior Office, United States Government, who we are, the true accounts. I put my paperwork in Sihakapa Mato, Sanzar Kitazacho, the 14th keeper of the Holy Pike Peninsula, the Buffalo Calf Pike, it'll bug out. So I to do this, to make sure that our people are protected, we had to bring our traditional knowledge back. I even talked to the chairman what they're doing, and I talked to them, and they just refused to talk to me. And I said, by you doing that, you forfeit your authority as a chairman or a council. And talked to Greg Borland Thursday. He refused to talk to me. I called that LaPointe guy or wherever his name is from Aberdeen. Same thing. So Monday comes, I'm calling the office in Washington, D.C., because they told me to call them first on my behalf of the people. But with the things that were told, all these fraudulent activities and lies that have been telling to the people, we as a traditional people have more power than the chairman and the council. We need to take that power back. There are only our secretaries. That's it. The land where we call home is our home. But there's histories. This next couple of months, I personally are going to do it. I'm going to call it a educational ceremonial week for all the people to come pray with the Chinupa, but also hear the truth and know how things were been at that time, the old ways, and bring it up to date. So this way, things like this would not happen. But I know there's a lot of things that needs to be told.
Bullshit. I don't even hear.
If I talk to the bureau.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I'd like to get the information where he's getting the.
So you can call my number. You can call my number, 484-602-7446.
It was given to us because there was a time of famine. There's a whole history behind that.
Yeah.
And yet,
I have the history. I am the bloodline of the keeper of the pipe.
Not a human.
And according to traditional law, the first keeper of the pipe was verified, examination of the family tree of the treaty.
So he doesn't know.
In that form, Dry River Sioux tribe. And if this was passed down, bundled, passed down to the firstborn son, according to traditional law, from generation to generation in a Dazacho, sends ark without bow band. So here, let one come, Peninsula.
Yeah, now I have a question. Our looking horse is the people of the pipe, of the white buffalo pipe.
I'm gonna tell you in a humble way. No, he's not.
I was on that before.
He's been lying and frauding to the people, and I'm taking everybody to court. I asked the CIA to tell them that you guys need to come forth in a good way, either handle it the way that you're supposed to, or else we're going to do it traditional way. So either way you want to go, it's not my choice, but the actions that they took fraudulently, taking these things in a manner of their own hands, like you said, greed, lying to the public, lying to the people, that's the federal law. And then using our name to, without our permission, to go get money. And the tribe pays for them to go around, all the tribes, give them money, help them out. That's wrong.
Explain what happened at Little Bighorn.
Right, we got to Little Bighorn because my grandfather was there, the keeper of the pipe. He blessed all the Kichitas there. the Cheyenne Dogmen, the Lakota Dogmen, and they made that bond because of all the atrocities and things were happening at that time. The women and children getting destroyed, killed, and crushed, and taking the babies out of the stomach. I mean, Sand Creek. I mean, all over. But that's why we came at that point. So that's still, that's that, though, like you said, the phantom, that was the phantom. The white man were already doing that to our people, but we took the stand. Some of the people didn't want to show up because they said, you're going to go over there and
die. What happened this year?
And this year we went to the church, we did the blessing, we went to this room, we took the flag. And everybody had to bow down. The BI officers were trying to say something different. They had to bow down. They apologized, and they asked us that they're going to escort us on the land. So I told them this year that I'm coming back with 100 Lakota or more, and I'm coming back with 100 Cheyenne or more, and I'm bringing the whole world to be on that victory day with our horses, and we're going to let the BIA know that we're taking us back. And there's nothing you can do about it. So we took the flag down a little bighorn, and all they can do was saying thank you for doing this, and it's about time that the Hihakapa Moto come forth to reconnect with the people. And then I got honored several elders, Cheyenne and Lakota, from those nations, came up to me, told me that some things are about to happen here traditionally. They coordinated some times with me personally to do the ceremony, reconnect our ties with the nations. So I'm coming. That's happening now. I've been going to different nations throughout what we call Turtle Island, from Canada all the way down to South America, to let the people know the truth. So,
last year we found the last missing sacred medicine wheel.
Yeah.
So if you send me your, if you guys give me your email, I'll send it to the website on that radio. I'll send you my stuff. I sent it to the BIA and Greg Borland and that LaPointe guy, whatever.
I want to know where he's getting information from.
Yeah. Could you ask him?
You know, that's, I'd like to get the information. Where you're getting all this information from, like the dog soldiers and how they gave the suit a pipe and stuff. I'd like all that information if you can.
Okay. Well, this is why the American horse and the elders
it comes from Weasel Dog, Two Moon.
American horse is my grandpa, so don't go there.
I'll call American horse right now.
Well, right now he's my brother.
I'm good friends with American
and we're
horse.
Close related to our family. We're
traditionally family.
This is what I'm gonna read this out loud because I already submitted
American
it.
Horse is there.
So this is already applied in the treaties of 1851, 1825, when they first came over here, what they call America. Our grandfathers signed that treaty, but at the same time, it had to do with our nations, what took place at that time. Now, CRST Council, as they call themselves, the business committee, they don't know these things. They don't know these laws, and they told me straight up, we don't care. And I told them, I said, if you don't care about traditional laws or traditional ways, then therefore you don't have no job here because there's no reservation. So it's up to the people to do the right thing. And this is why we're going to, in a few months' time, or a few weeks from time, we're coming to set up a honoring, like I said before, an honoring week-long gathering. And I talked to the elders in each council fires, even our relatives up there in Canadian site. Our relatives up there, not even, like how you say, it's kind of sad that nobody of our relatives went up there and tried to protect them or nothing. And yet, they're still not even, they're not American citizens. They're not Canadian citizens. They're just there. What we call Sioux Valley in that area and our extended relatives there. So that's one of the many things that I'm personally working on to bring that circle back. I went to every sacred site this last year and did a big, huge giveaway and told the truth and invited all the natives to come forth if they so choose to meet me in person to discuss these matters. I got nothing but facts and bloodline. So it's a family tree that's been in my family tree for the longest time. I got the proof. The Shiva Sioux tribe has it. The BI has it. The United States Interior has it. And the Treaty Informed has it. And the UN is also. So I don't know what else more that people
need.
What did
you say your name was?
Ihakapa Mato. Kid Red here. Keeper of the pipe.
What is it?
What kind of Mato? Yep. Yakapa hit a buck out.
Kahasapa Mato.
Yakapa Mato, yep. That's the both sides of my father and my mother. Come from many chiefs and relations.
Nigger bears, wouldn't it?
Send me your email. I'll send you. Text me, and I'll give it to you.
What's your email address?
Yeah, there's no ill intent, brothers. It's all love.
The BIA told me that because of this knowledge that I have, and the authority. Powers that they said all they can do is support me. That's all they can do. So now I'm fixing to coordinate with all the elders and people from back home and how that pertains to all of us. It's very important that we need to re-educate, re-establish our knowledge. So it's been a very long road for me.
What's your email address?
It's
native.law.international@gmail.
At Gmail.
Yep, and we can send you any kind of information you want. Because, like I said, it's a lot to go over, but basically, in the 1825 Cheyenne Treaty, because of all the stuff that happened, the Trail of Tears, the Longest Walk, Fan Creek, everything, everybody got forced onto Cheyenne territory, and all the world governments did it, so they acknowledged that a Cheyenne. Are sovereign because everybody's on our territory and can't hurt us Cheyenne. So in the 1825 Cheyenne Treaty, they had said that we don't have to ask for anything because they're not going to argue with us. And because we didn't fight any of our people, we fought as in helping our people. And they gave us full sovereignty out of all tribes in the 1825 Cheyenne Treaty. And then in the 1855 Fort Laramie Treaty, it talks about the sovereignty of the Lakota because at Little Bighorn, we gave all of our sovereignty as Cheyenne to Hiakabo Mato, Keeper of the Pipe.
I don't understand that Lakota, that name that he's saying.
Okay,
Hiakabo Mato.
Just email to you.
Native.law.international@gmail.
But anyway, yeah, what's the name? It's pretty interesting what you're saying, but still, you know, let's get back to what we was talking about. Those, you know, people kicking people out.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I don't know what people think about, you know, Indians kicking Indians out, but I don't think that's right. She said, that's the other thing, you know, and then, when you have AIM people claiming they're AIM and they're sponsored by the police departments, to me, that's wrong, too. Because AIM was about Indians getting together
to fight the cops because the cops were killing us and abusing us.
Right.
And they're still doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so and now all of a sudden, some people want to get sponsored. AIM wants to get sponsored by police departments. That, to me, that's not right. They're still the enemy. They're still killing us. They're still abusing us. But yet, all of a sudden, you want to side with them? To me, that's not right either. Mm-hmm. But these people, the Nooksack or that tribe, what they did to me, it's totally wrong. You know, they shouldn't kick people, especially elders. They say they mm-hmm. respect elders. They like, elders. They use elders when it's to their benefit. Kids and elders, they only use them when it benefits them somehow. And that's wrong, see? And now all of a sudden, you're going to kick out a whole group of elders that don't have nowhere to go because of a housing shortage? And these people have been in there for years and years and years, living in those houses? That's not right. That's, to me, disenrolling people, it shouldn't even happen. Some of these people have been living together for 100 years, over 100 years, and yet all of a sudden, you know, you're not from here. You're not, you know, what is that about? If you're native, if you're a person that never floated in on a ship, you belong here. And it doesn't matter where you live or where you're at. You're still a part of this territory.
Mm-hmm.
America was just built. You know, it's new. Look at what they're fighting over now. You know, one man almost crushed it. You know, and that's, to me, America is a made up country. You know, that's what it is. We're still here. We're still, this is our territory. And natives, like, why is he kicking these people out? Saying they're from Canada when they've been here all these years. How would he feel if he went to Canada and they did that to him? Him and his kids.
Remember.
So that's what we were talking about when we were talking about the disenrollment earlier. When things like that happen, that's where that would come in. When believe it or not, I have a lot. It happens in a lot of sites. So that's where the disenrolling from the tribal business community part comes in, because you stand as an individual tribal sovereign member instead of as in a tribal sovereign. You're an individual tribal. And in all tribal constitutions, it states that all federal and state codifications are enacted pursuant to tribal sovereignty and individual sovereignty. So they don't want people to know that if you disenroll from the tribal business committee, that the tribal business committee no longer gets the funding, and they get $70,000 a year per individual native that's enrolled into the tribal business committee. And that is Title 25.
Remember.
That Title 25, 1200.
There's Jennifer.
That state.
Jennifer Black Elk is trying to call back in, and as soon as she jumps in, open up her line.
Jennifer's line is open.
Cool.
She's back, and her line is open the whole time.
Okay.
Yes,
ma'am. Hi. Wow, this conversation went all over the place.
Seriously, that kind of have you confused about the
wobbly here in spirit. Wobbly here in spirit.
It's very interesting.
We still have our medicine because we got the power.
Yeah, well, I don't like this ownership of the Chinupa fighting over that when it will take care of itself.
Yeah, yep.
And not only that, we all have that connection with the Chinupa, regardless who owns it or who did what with it. The understanding still exists. The understanding is still what our people, our Native people, need to do with it. And we need to just, all this bickering, we've got bigger things to come together about. And I'm all for sovereignty. And if the one tribe has already had it, then all the rest of the 573 tribes should be on board then, if they've already paved the way like they said. So we got a lot of work to do somewhere. We always keep talking about it. I want to see actions. And I know very few people that have gotten rid of their Social Security card and gotten their IDs with their Lakota name on there. And, you know, with being sovereignty, that means a lot of things, of not using American currency, their military, or anything that they put us under the umbrella of sovereignty. It's sovereignty where we have to come up with our own currency, our own everything.
If you go to the Crazy Horse Monument today and look at it, the Crazy Horse Monument is recognition to Crazy Horse and a Cheyenne Dogman or Otemitnan, and as in the original police for all the tribes. That's the reason for the 1825 Cheyenne Treaty, is because we fought alongside all the tribes during all of the bad, because everybody got forced. Mohawks got forced. Haudenosaunee, Cherokee, everybody got Oklahoma and Montana onto us, Cheyenne. And we gave all that authority to the Lakota. Because the Lakota are beautiful people. Y'all are our first international people, as in people. Like I said, the Buffalo Nation. You can't go through that many villages and nations without being good people. I don't care what anybody says. You got to be nice people to go through that many villages. We had borders back in the day. I don't care. To go through that many villages and towns and that many people following the buffalo, you had to be good people. That was the reason for partly of nobody has ever been adopted into the dogma. Only the Lakota. Strong warriors, but yet still beautiful people.
Yes. That's people have their stories, I guess.
Yeah. And that's where it all needs to come back to. Like I said, it's not a fight over the Chinupa. It's the fact that the bloodline is still here. It's not story. It's not history. It's not his story. It's the truth. It's the fact. The bloodline is still here.
Well, people can say a lot of things about our Black upbringing too, and try to discredit. We live with a lot of opinions and criticism of, because we live in a glass house, my family, and some will go as far as saying who we are or who we're not. And yet I just know what the spirits tell us. And that's how I just let the people, they're going to criticize no matter what. So I always stay with ceremonies. And if it's that meaning to you, you know, have a ceremony where we can hear it from a bona fide interpreter that will tell what you're saying is true. I mean, take it to the altar. Yep. You know, I've been in ceremonies where Crazy Horse himself came in and told us that he doesn't like that monument that's in his honor. He sees it as a desecration. Yeah, he came into the ceremony that I was in just recently, about, I'd say, a month ago, to honor my own son that is developing a warrior society. And so we do have that connection as a Black Elk family, that we stick close to the Chinupa the best we can. And, you know, like I said, that power, regardless whose hands it is, we all have access to it. We all have that. It was given to everybody, even the four nations. And that was one of the things that my own dad was criticized for, that it shouldn't go into the four nations. But in reality, we all, it's the most sacred of sacreds on this planet. on this earth. And I was always taught about the medicine wheel and that we're all going to come together under the arbor. Both my grandpa, my great-grandpappy Nicholas Black Elk, and my dad both had to go into seclusion to do a Sundance. And when they had their visions, it included all four nations. And, you know, we're sometimes caught up with a lot of things, but what we are really about as Native people is compassion. And we're in a dire right now of the climate thing, so we need to get our white brothers and sisters on track and have them understand the element that they need to take care of that fire. They are abusing this earth at an alarming rate where their countdown is like 6 years left us to exist as humans. We as Native people have a different platform, and we really need to just talk about those type of things instead of nitpicking on this other crap, because as far as I'm concerned, the white people are very smart in some ways, but they're outsmarting themselves. And they're tying us up in courts left and right, keeping us too busy to stay focused on what we're supposed to do. And that's kind of how I, but I look at the youth, my son being young still, but to have Crazy Horse come in and bless him and his warriors in this modern day age, that's quite fascinating that we still have that connection with our ancestry. It was my grandpa that gave me my name. The Nicholas Black Elk came into a ceremony, a doctrine ceremony, gave me my Indian name. I'm known as Lakol Pajutawi, but I'm not really a medicine woman. I just understand a lot of things. But that's the connection that we have with this Chinupa. So if you're saying that you really have that connection with that Chinupa, focus on the power that it possesses in helping us as a real, that's a true help that we really need as mankind. We need to stay behind that Chinupa and love one another. That's what my dad would say.
Pepewana.
Shirley Fiddler, Alcat. Marie Alcat. They have this on YouTube, but it's not there to fight or anything. We've been saying this all along since Little Bighorn. We come in with love. They come down and ask for medicine. Now they took all their medicine away from that sacred place. Now you have to go other miles away to get that medicine. But yet here we are, like you're saying. But this is the cause of things. Taking action, I went forth and became connected the four elements, the four nations, so ratified. So where we told the BIA can say was, well, you have to go back and talk to my nation, my people. These things that are happening, we don't have no courts, like you were saying. There's no courts. Is this facts? And by having that sovereignty, I had to put these words together for them to understand, to comprehend this language that they spew against us original peoples, first peoples, us human beings. But I don't mean this is no harm to anybody or anything. I'm just doing this. I had to do this because I'm tired of seeing my elders, all my friends, and all the people I know from those, what we call home, Osetia-Shikawmi territories, hurt. And I mean, they even trying to threaten me off my so-called reservation, Shiawassee tribe. So I just told them humbly, I said, you know, this is really harsh that you guys call yourselves natives, but you guys are working for the BIA. I get it. That's okay. But this way, what I comprehend is that perpetual perpetuity, perpetual gratitude, and perpetual existence. I took action so we can have these things in place. Black Feather, before he passed away, Red Cloud before he passed away. A long time ago, they took us down to that ceremony in that area of the Badlands. When he was young boys, they took us down there, and they're all sitting in the sweat lodge in the ceremonies. Told us that when that time comes, you have to stand up. Now that time is now. And I'm really honored and I'm humbled that I get to do this. And I'm not talking. We're just going forth in a good way with love and harmony with all. But at the same time, I'm not going to stand by and allow these, whoever these individuals are, to do these things to our people like this. This has got to stop. And yes, we are working on the Turtle Island, Kia, you know, the four nations. And I got honored with those different nations to come forth. So I'm not doing it just to be like, oh, the one person are trying to fight. No, it's not about that. It's there to come back to the original place of peace and love and harmony with all nations and be that Lakota, the Muscata, the Lakota Cheyenne, who we are, to stand strong and let and tell this BIA and the tribal councils and the chairmen that they have no powers in terms of those things, because when you do that, any kind of thing like that, I take it on there directly, but also to the White House directly. And I told Deb Holland and her office and that LaPointe guy from Aberdeen and a so-called guy, Greg Borland from Sham Sioux Tribe, that these things, these days that you guys are corruption, are hurting our people, is over. Because I'm happy that they, well, I'm not happy about it. But it's sad what they're doing, but at the same time, coming back to our food powers as sovereign, they have to give you provisions of food, shelter, clothing, medical, education, insurance, some type of transportation, gas card, expenses card, a bank card. That's what I'm putting in place for all of us. But I'm just letting you know, I'd be honored to walk with us together, to join in the walk with us, and Chonko Luta, you know, the Red Road. But Chinupa, every day, and my Inao told me, you have to do this now. So I got no other recourse but to do it. So that's what I'm doing. So I'm honored. I'm going to say thank you guys so much. If you got any questions, feel free to send an email, and I'll give you the information, and let's stay connected from this point forward, and let's talk to the BIA Monday morning or whoever we got to talk to get this rectified and help those elders out. I'll put the call out.
Well, thank you for coming on the show and sharing your thoughts and what you're doing.
Yeah, well, thank you guys so much for having us, because without this, we cannot even communicate, and having that source of trying to show our voices, our sacred voices to each other. And I'm really honored. Stay in touch with you guys, what I'm doing and stuff, because even here in Philadelphia, they came here, our elders went to Philadelphia because that's original, what they call the 13th colonies offices is that. In Albany and Philadelphia, not Washington, D.C. It's in Philadelphia. But I'll be honored to help educate the young or whoever is willing to listen to know these things. I'm willing to share. Because the more that we know about these things, the more that this kind of corruption will stop. So, Pilama Plo. Noksha.
You know, let's get back to what we were talking about before, about people getting kicked out of tribes. You know, you hear all this sovereign stuff, and then all of a sudden commerce comes into play. You know, the thing about it is it's just flat wrong to kick people out, especially your own people. That shouldn't happen.
It is.
That shouldn't happen at all on any reservation.
I don't know what you guys, what do you think, Philip? Hey, Philip, you there?
I think it's wrong, too. And, you know, that article cited the situation that happened with the disenrollment of the freemen from the Cherokee Nation.
Yeah.
Because they were actually included in the documentation for removal that the African slaves that the Cherokee had were actually considered property, so they were on the rolls also. And when the Cherokee did that, it ended up going to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled that because their names appeared on the rolls, that they should have never been taken off of they should have never been disenrolled. Even though the majority of them had no native blood lineage.
Yeah. So in other words, they were property, so they belong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what it boils down to. But it was all over
money, though. It was still over money. It wasn't recognized as native. It was all over funds that the federal government was giving to the Cherokee, and people that the Cherokee felt should not have been receiving those funds.
Yeah,
that it should have been reserved for their people, their bloodlines.
See, that's the big thing. Like, you know, like say for instance, us guys, we know who is who, like on our reservation, who is related to who, whatever, you know, and we know who's been there. And a lot of these people came in from other places and stayed there because of, you know, running away from the U.S. government. It goes way back. But to get protection from the Lakota people, there's a lot of different tribes that showed up, see. And it's still like that today. These people that wandered in, no, they ain't from there, but they grew up there. They're part of us. They always will be a part of us, see. And that's the thing, you know. I don't get why these people are kicking people out when they know they just came across. It was all one territory. You know, that shouldn't happen. They're the people. All of them's the people. And money and jealousy seems to be what's coming into play here, you know. And money shouldn't have anything to do with this disenrolling. But yet it happens, like he was saying, the freemen. They fought hard to get that money, that, and they, even though they didn't have no Indian blood, since they were property, they were part of it, see. So that's, you know, to me, that it's all wrong. The United States, when they let the United States government decide these things, they get it all twisted up.
Yeah.
Well, how the hell they minimize the Native American, the people, the original owners of this land.
And see, that's the problem with the BIA being mediators, because they're sitting back and they're laughing. And it doesn't matter if there's Natives that are involved with the BIA, that are in charge of the BIA. Like in the past, there were Indigenous people that were in charge of the BIA when, you know, billions of dollars ended up missing that didn't go to nations.
Collect your phone call.
Nothing ever happened to those people. They were never tried for any wrongdoing. They walked. There was never any accounting of that money or paying that money back. You know, it just vanished.
See, that's the thing. A lot of these people, it boils down to greed. You know, I don't know what it is about Indians. When they get that white man mentality and it comes to money, She they jump through hoops trying to be white man, you know. They forget who they are when it comes to money. You know, and that's like these freedmen, see. They jump through hoops to be a part of that native group. See. But this is a totally different story. This is real natives, real Indians, getting kicked out of a territory that they've been a part of since the beginning, you know?
Yeah,
and you know, the sad thing is this isn't the first time.
It isn't the first time.
This has been happening.
Yeah, it's been happening. That's what I'm saying. Even down here in California, it's a constant mess down here in California, you know, to where they pick and choose, oh, you're not from here, you're from over there, you know, I mean, and they're throwing people out left and right because they have casinos, see.
Well, and here's the thing, is this is where they're so small-minded and not forward-thinking or having critical thought, is if you disenroll these people, you lose power.
Yep.
Your nation loses strength.
And that's why I say,
and
well,
they don't see it that way because they see the dollar as power.
Yeah, yeah. See, like our tribe, during this COVID relief stuff, they used the roll numbers to get the funding, see. But yet, when it came in, not all people were equal, see.
Did you get your money?
They didn't.
What's up for the tribe?
Yeah. Distribute it the way it was supposed to be, see. A lot of them got left out, the people that were enrolled. And this is something that's been going on year for years and years and years, since the inception of the BIA. You know, even back in the day, the agents, the Indian agents, they were crooked like that. See?
So yeah, they were actually stealing stuff from the payouts themselves.
Yeah, yeah. See, and they're still doing it to this day, yeah. See. And that's why I say, how do you think they built that? The United States government built the military. It was all stolen lease money from the Indian, the native people, throughout the United States. These white people ain't going to give you tax dollars to spend $700 billion on tanks and shit. So where are they getting the money? That was lease money they weren't paying to the Native American for years and years and years. Now all of a sudden, Cobalt comes out. Then we're worth $1,200 a piece. And the tribal council is happy to give that. You know, this is these councils and these people that get in, like this guy. Why is he throwing these people out? You know, is he jealous of them? Is it greed? You know, have some kind of compassion. Those people, they've been there. Like he said, oh, 50 years, you know. I mean, come on. Have a heart. Have some kind of compassion, you know. If you're Indian, you would. If you're Native, you would.
Because there's old lady out there.
You know.
Yeah. What was that, Larry?
You heard that?
I heard you back there. I just couldn't make out what you said.
All these jealousies.
All these jealousies, yeah.
Part of it is political as well as, you know, it might have took this old lady out. I don't know.
Took her for a ride on a hairy elephant?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of it is, I think. It boils down to petty jealousies. And it's been happening. It's still going to happen again. I mean, it's going to continue. We've got to get our head together.
It's a crazy vicious circle. It just keeps happening over and over again.
Yeah, it's a vicious circle.
I thought Lance was supposed to call in.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
Oh, he's probably sleeping.
Just Wombre. Yeah, Wombre told me that Lance is supposed to call in too today, so I was watching out, but he never called in. We have 22 minutes left.
Okay, so then I'll bring up a little topic, and this is probably what Lance was going to start talking about too, because both of us know about this situation that's going on in Indiana. It seems that this True People of Indiana, Kentucky AIM chapter that's been sanctioned by the Grand Governing Council is now starting to go after a longstanding Indian center there, making false allegations and claims of wrongdoing that this Indian center that's been around since 1992 isn't serving the people. And this is another case of this, you know, jealousies and in my opinion, jealousies and power and control from someone that isn't even really from that area. You know, this director that's over there making allegations. And, you know, quite honestly, it's sad. You know, we talk about, you know, Indians shouldn't be fighting Indians. Well, this center's been around since 92 and has been helping a lot of people in Indiana. And for an AIM chapter to come in there and try to push their weight around and try to, in my opinion, intimidate a longstanding organization there, is pretty sad. Pretty sad. Claims of lateral violence, and that phrase sounds familiar because that's the same thing that they tried accusing me of when I tried calling somebody out and reprimanding them. They come up with these new terms. Oh, it's lateral violence. Lateral violence, I just put you in check, that's all, and you don't like it. And I will say this too. I received a message from someone this just before Christmas, and somebody that's of prominence that came here to Ohio, and I know these people also. Some other people went to go see these officials from a tribe. And to receive a message from this person saying that, you know, out of all the people that came to see us past summer, only you and your son came at us the correct way. Now, these people claim to be traditional, and apparently they forgot protocol. Or they just don't give a damn about protocol, because some of these people are in academia. But they claim traditional all the time. Me, myself, I'm not Lakota. I'm not Cheyenne. I'm not Native North American. My tribe, my nation, moved from the Utah Great Salt Lake area into Mexico thousands of years ago. And by the time the Spaniards came here, they gave us the name of Aztec. Okay. And, but I was fortunate on my spiritual journey and spiritual path and looking for something that, that spoke to my spirit, because Christianity and Catholicism stopped doing that. I saw all the hypocrisy involved in that religion. I had elders in the community take me under their wing and guide me and teach me and show me. And so I know a lot of protocols. And I'm teaching my son those protocols. And granted, it's not something that my nation does. I don't know what my nation does because I don't live down there. We weren't brought up even knowing that we were indigenous. Okay, we were always under the assumption that we were Mexicans, and let's get this clear. That's how the Spanish pronounce Mexica. Okay, they couldn't understand that X has a SH sound in the language of Nahuatl. So for me to not have those kind of traditions and protocols to learn from, I learned protocols of other nations, and I take them to heart because they're respectful ways of being. Okay, so when you meet an elder, when you meet a chief or somebody else of prominence in a nation for the first time, you give them a prayer bundle. You offer them that tobacco. And this is what I've been teaching my son. So the night before meeting these people, I, you know, sat down with him and we made the prayer bundles with the tobacco and wrapped them up. And I told him, I said, you know, this is how this is done. Okay. It's a sign of respect and you should be honored to be able to meet these people. You know, so when we went there, we introduced ourselves, and I told Lucas that I was going to give him the honor of presenting these prayer bundles to the people. And he did so, and the people were very thankful. And this person told me, he said, you know, you've been on our minds for a few weeks now. And then he proceeded to say that, you know, we were the only ones out of all the people that came to see them, that came to them in the correct way. That made me feel good that I was teaching Lucas the correct way, teaching him correct protocol, and to be respectful, to speak with respect. And at the same time, I was saddened to know that, you know, others that know better, that these are their traditions, you know, historically, didn't do that. And to me, it just made me feel like, you know, it's a sad statement for the people here in Ohio that these are some of these people are supposed to be leaders and representatives of organizations. They didn't do these things. And I just thought, wow, how does it make the rest of the community in Ohio look? You know, that they've lost their ways of doing things a traditional way. But this situation with the American Indian Center of Indiana and this AIM chapter down there is getting way out of hand. And some young woman is overstepping her boundaries. And I have no problem at all calling it what it is. And it's just a continuation of the Grand Governing Council bullying people. You know, for a respected Indian center to be badmouthed the way they're being badmouthed is uncalled for, absolutely uncalled for. They continue to help people in the community. And for this upstart AIM chapter to do what they're doing is absolutely wrong, and they should be ashamed of themselves. And in all actuality, since I know that some higher-ups in the Grand Governing Council also know about this, they need to step down if they're not going to take care of this situation and put a stop to what this chapter director is doing.
You know,
they need to step down.
Philip, that's what I was talking about, is that, you know, all of a sudden they're being sponsored by the police.
Yeah.
You know, why?
And that's one thing that I also sent to, I sent that picture to Wombly. And it's of the Grand Governing Council sobriety powwow in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And it says on there, and I circled it and highlighted it for Wombly, sponsored by the Minneapolis Police Department.
Yeah.
So they can't say that they don't work with the police or work for the police.
And see, that's what I was telling you. Those are some of our biggest enemies, and yet they're there with them. You know, that to me, that's, you're selling out. You know, you don't belong with AIM in front of your name or behind your name or wherever you use it, or even wearing a patch if you're going to get sponsored by or hang in there with the cops.
Yeah.
You know,
and see, you can't criticize that,
that
you
AIM,
can't criticize
AIM got
them
because of cops abuse. You know, and they're still doing it. That's what I'm saying. The cops are still doing it.
Yeah, they want no criticism of anything that they do, because they think in their minds that everything that they do is absolutely correct. And you know what? They need to go back and look at the history of AIM and why it started with the police brutality there in Minneapolis.
Yep.
They're in bed with the enemy. They are in bed with the enemy. Notice I said they are in bed with the enemy.
Yeah.
The Grand Governing Council is in bed with the enemy. I'm not talking about other chapters that are out there that are not affiliated with the Grand Governing Council.
That's, you know, when you start jumping in bed with your enemy, or the so-called people's enemy, that you shouldn't be wear an AIM patch at all, you know. Because that's, you know, like I say, look at our all the people they're still killing. All the people they're still abusing.
Still missing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people missing that went to jail, never came back. These things. Grand Governing Council.
Grand Governing?
Yeah, and you know, to me, that's wrong. You don't do that to your people, you know. Your people are being abused. They're suffering at the hands of the cops, and yet you want to be a part of that? You know, to me, that's not cool at all. You shouldn't even mess around using that AIM, because to begin with, that's the reason why AIM came about, was because of the cops abusing Indians, and they're still doing it. There's no difference from then to now. So they're going about it all wrong. And they're calling themselves AIM, and they're bullying people. That's not cool. They're denying Indians chapters and all this other stuff. You're creating more enemies.
And the sad thing is, you know, when you have a question and you ask a question, they take it as an attack. And then they start, you're being violent against, lateral violence against women leaders and elders. And are you kidding me? I asked a simple question. Answer the question.
Yeah, they don't understand what a question is.
they do a Trump, and they pivot, deflect, and put it on you. That's what they do.
No.
I hope somebody's spying for them, and you listen to what I'm saying. You're acting like Trump.
You know, that's a good one. But you know, when you're doing something like that, you know, just why, when you get questioned, when you're in a leadership position, you got to have thick skin, and you got to be honest with people.
So why do you think of excuses to try to get out of it? Face the facts. You know, jump in there and say, hey, this is what it is, instead of saying lateral violence and all this other stuff, you know? What is it about these people? Why are they doing this, you know? And they think it's okay to do that. Me, myself, it's not okay to do that, you know? It's that's totally wrong. That's you know, and then to have women go in there and, you know, do this and do that for them and try to change somebody else out, and so, you know, that's not cool at all, you know? Just, you know, behave yourself. You know, their true colors are coming out now, you know, siding with the cops and using all these AIM patches. You know, what is AIM becoming now, you know?
Well, and posting videos of this powwow and seeing the stacks and stacks of T-shirts.
Yeah.
It's become a merchandising thing, I think.
Yeah, it seems that way to me. You know, they're commercializing it. That's what it is. You know, it's not. To me, it's all of the, they're all mixed up in that money stuff now. You know, the greed is starting to set in on them. They don't care about the American Indian movement, apparently. You know. They don't care about the people. You know, when you're denying your own native people, chapters and stuff, that's wrong. That's not how it's done.
It just boggles my mind how this same director that I'm talking about, you know, I don't know how she's making money, but she's got an awful lot of money to be traveling all over the country. With another chapter director, and you know, going to Pennsylvania and going here and there, and it's like our chapter's always done things on our own dime. If we can't go somewhere, we can't go somewhere. You know, I don't have the money to and maybe it's a good thing that our chapter wasn't able to get registered as a 501c3, because then there's no accusations of money and fraud or anything else. We don't accept donations. Yeah. We don't take donations. We don't have, you know, we don't have GoFundMes to fix our personal homes.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad that such a great organization and movement has turned into something so ugly.
You know, that's just it. That's a small group of people doing that. There's more people like me and you, Philip, you know, that we know what American Indian Movement is about. See, we've lived it. We've been there, you know. And that's the thing with this, and that's why we keep saying American Indian Movement is everybody. It's all of us. It's not one individual or a group of individuals. And in the beginning, there was no leaders. Everybody was equal. Indian causes is what it was about. And that's where
we
it
have
should still be.
Left.
Wow.
That
went fast.
Yeah.
I know. And Lila is on too. Hi, Lila.
Oh.
Hi, it's Lila. Hi, my brothers and sisters. How you doing?
Surviving.
Any last comments?
I'm wearing my AIM shirt right now.
Right,
we got to get it together, man. Come on, Vember. We got to bring it together.
There you go. We got it. We're getting it done slowly. All right, you guys. We just got a couple minutes. And
3 minutes.
Maybe,
Jennifer, have you any last comments?
And whatever it is, you guys... Last words, then we'll say a prayer and leave it at that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We'll check here. Wana.
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 Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Wana. Ya tuk tek tel oyate o yon kilene yohila chozani cha khankashla chidila chivi cha khan khoshim kilan on kya po yohila ha mitake yase
ha mitake yase. Philip, do you have any last comments? We have 2 minutes.
It was a really great show, and I look forward to next week. And you all take care, stay healthy, stay warm. Check on the elders and get them firewood if they need it. You know, make sure that they're doing okay. And I love you guys.
Love you, Philip. Love you, Timber. Love you, Maria. Love you, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just keep talking. We still have 2 minutes.
Longest 2 minutes in history.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to find out who that guy is.
No doubt, man.
I had a hard time understanding what he said.
Circles. 90 seconds.
But tell him that's an interesting show. Benny, hi to Uncle Larry real quick.
How many seconds? How many now?
We're on the countdown. The ball has dropped. We're 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy New Year.
We're counting down the seconds. Waiting for like New Year.
50 seconds. Yeah. So how's your hairy elephant doing?
Oh, the hairy elephant.
You're talking everybody tonight. Yeah. You're talking everybody tonight. Everybody have a good night. Enjoy.
Yeah.
We'll talk again next Saturday.
Same time, same station.
Good.
Dabsha. Dabsha,
again. We shall talk again.
Uh-huh.
Abu. Go Abu.
Shall return.
Abu.
Yeah.
Abu time. All right. I think time's almost up.
Yeah. 10 seconds. Now you can calm down.
I love you.
Ishtima, Abu.
Huh. Okay. Now we are out. Okay. Good night, everybody.
All right, see you guys next time.
Good night.
Good night.
Give Freddy a hug for me, Maria.
Okay, I will.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.